We're in a season of great outpouring of the Spirit. The day spring from on high is visiting us through the tender mercies of our God. Draw near with an open heart to receive the blessings of our God through His servant, Pastor Dumeji Elugbadebo. Be revived.
All right, so are we ready? Okay, this is the first question. All right, is grace an unction or an understanding? Grace is both. So there is a grace that is grace. There is grace for service or grace for ministry that is more like an anointing upon. There can be grace because the word grace is the word charisma, and it means a lot of things. For instance, fivefold gifts are graces. What did I say fivefold is? Charisma. Even charisma is used for gifts of the Spirit. So yes, grace is gift, charisma. But that word charisma is a vocabulary that captures many things. Okay? So grace can be unction for performance. For instance, some people carry grace for healing. Am I right? It's an unction upon them to anoint them to do something. Our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. He went about healing. Doing good and healing them that are oppressed of the devil. So there is grace for service. There is grace for ministry. Or anointing to do something is also grace. Can we say amen? But there's also grace that comes by understanding. So there's grace as a person. There's grace as an anointing. So Jesus is both. Jesus has anointing upon. And Jesus is an anointed being. He has an anointed life. He has an anointed nature. I hope you are getting me. So Jesus is both. So are you getting the understanding? So grace is an understanding. Grace can be an understanding. Grace can be understanding of a way in God. There is grace to comprehend God's ways. There is grace as a revelation of God's person. There is grace as revelation of the state of life in God. Can we say amen? But there's also grace that is enablement to carry out something. So just like the gifts of the Spirit, we have 12 gifts of the Spirit. Those gifts, they function irrespective at times of your state. It is God that is like that. So God can anoint you to do something. Like Samson was anointed to do things. But he had issues to sort out in his walk with God. So is there any better than the other? Not exactly. But in your walk with God, you have to prioritize knowing God than doing something for God. So it is putting all in perspective. Not like you don't need grace. If our God anoints us with things to carry out different assignments or different tasks, somebody can have grace for administration in the church. When you see somebody can organize things, it's a grace. The office of a deacon is a kind of grace. Like to stand in the prophetic office is a kind of grace. It's a grace that Jesus gives for assignment and administration of things in the church and in the body. And we need that grace because Jesus is the one that distributes those things as he wills. Can we say amen? Amen. But much more, there is the grace of God that is a revelation of the person of God. And that comes by understanding the ways of God. I don't know if you are getting me. So the grace of God that bringeth understanding, that bringeth salvation, that grace is different from Ephesians 4. Maybe let's just look at those two scriptures, right? Are we all here? No. So, but to every one of us is giving grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Verse 8. Wherefore he said, he that ascended on high has left captivity captive and has given gifts to men. Or we can say has given graces to men. Those gifts are graces. A pastor is a grace. A prophet is a grace. A teacher is a grace. They are all graces. And the embodiment of grace. And the Lord works those things in, you know, in parallel. Okay? The Lord anoints a minister, but the Lord also builds his stature. Because when the Lord builds your stature, you can stand better in service. Your stature can betray the anointing upon. If you don't have stature, it will betray the anointing upon. So the way the Lord works, the Lord can anoint you, but he also wants to build your stature so that you can, he can even put you, you can carry more anointing. Jesus was anointed though. But Jesus was raised with stature. So both are important. Can we say amen? Both are important. So he gave gifts to men, right? So those gifts are men that Jesus anoints to do a particular task. All right? So now let's just go jump to verse. And he gave some, what? Apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So all these are graces for equipping. So they are graces. So even this is both grace upon and grace in building stature. Because you cannot even function well in these offices without a measure of building. The only thing is that Jesus does not complete the building before he sends you to do the tax. That would be practically impossible. Right? Can we say amen? That an apostle has become a son of God before he starts ministry. None of us can fulfill. If that's it, nobody will do ministry in the sense of serving the saints. But Jesus will do a level of building and give an understanding. I think the problem is that most ministers forget that they also need to keep growing. And it's because of the understanding of some dispensation of truth that sees the minister as the standard. The minister is not the standard. Jesus is the standard. Because the minister also needs to keep growing. He's not yet in the full stature of Christ. The Lord just picked him, walked in him to a measure, anointed him for his service. Can we say amen? When Jesus empowered the 12 apostles, they had infirmities, but they had a level of building. So even by the time the apostles started church, sir, they also had a measure of stature. They didn't have all the stature. Peter still had infirmity in judgment. They still had one or two things that, so you could see that the apostles grew. By the time they were writing epistles, they were men that had grown to a very high measure. So the important thing for everybody is that keep growing. However, let me say this to balance. There is a point that God will not permit you to even carry out a work of ministry of service because you are not yet prepared for that ministry. There's also premature entry into an assignment of God. For instance, to be an apostle of the New Testament, if you see apostles of the New Testament, like we look at someone like Paul. Paul took time before he entered that office. You see that in Galatians. We see the attitude of apostolic ministry, right? Paul was called as an apostle in Acts chapter 9. Am I right, Pastor? Paul did not enter apostolic ministry until Acts chapter 13. So between Acts chapter 9 and Acts 13 is preparation. Paul did not get born again on campus, and before he left final year, he became an apostle. Hello, 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 hello. Hello, you get what I'm talking about? He got born again. We knew when he got born again in fellowship. And then before he finished final year, he became an apostle. That is not how it is done. We need to tell this generation, you are wrong. That you are following does not make you an apostle. You can build platform yourself. You can be wise. Digital. Oh my God. I have to correct this. Let me continue. Digitality is not equal to apostolic ministry. The sign of an apostle is even beyond if those miracles that even make apostles, I don't even see them around. Most of the work of an apostle are the epistles of life. Are you not the seal of my apostleship? What is the seal of apostleship? Souls of men that you have raised. So even ministry, it takes time for you to step. So there's preparation. So there's grace that is upon to do an assignment. There's grace that is a revelation of the persons of the Godhead. Yes, sir. And what they do is to give you understanding of God's nature that can become an inheritance in you. I don't know if I'm talking. All right, let's go on. Glory to God. Okay? So in following God's plan for my life, how can I draw the line between not making haste, okay, either believing as some and not being slothful? Now, come and get counseling. Sometimes you may not be able to even draw the line because you need judgment and understanding. But what I'll tell you is it all depends on our makeup. All right? All of us have different makeup. And the cross works in different ways in our lives. Some people are naturally hasty. Some people are naturally complacent. And at times, the cross works opposite way. So somebody that is normally hasty, he has gone ahead before waiting to hear what God is saying. God will slow you down. So that you can hear what the Spirit is saying and get direction of the Spirit. For some people, sir, they will never move. You should be sincere. Know yourself. First of all, know yourself. What kind of person are you? Some of us are naturally laid back. So for somebody laid back, you can hide under leading of the Spirit. But you know that your challenge is that you will never really start something and you finish in your life. Come on. Can we say amen? Amen. Nah, I've caught you. Amen. You never really start something and finish. When you start something, you along the way you get tired. You go to another thing. You start, you don't finish. You go, you start and don't finish. Naturally, you have a nature. And that's why when pastors are counseling, pastors, we need wisdom. At times, you need prophetic spirit to move into the past of that person and begin to fetch judgment. If not, you can give wrong counsel. So you look at the person, you know their nature, you have judgment. And no. For you, you may need to take a step of faith and start doing what the Lord has told you. Because you have waited for 6 years and you have not done anything. And you're still saying you are waiting. You know what our waiting result is? You will not be able to enter campus, sir. All right? So it works. And that's why I said you need counseling. All right? You need counseling. But one thing to know is that for somebody that is naturally hasty, the Lord has to teach you not to be hasty. The Lord will teach you to wait for the right timing. You have to know timing. Timing is key in spiritual dynamics because power is released in time. Grace is released according to time. So something can be true, but it's the wrong time. And because of that, you will not have grace. So that's the power of time. So you wait upon the Lord. So number one, is for instance, it's clear that this is what the Lord wants you to do. Then the next thing, wait, what time? Do you want it? And if you have not clarified time, then you keep waiting. Now when you say you are waiting on the Lord, that does not mean you are sleeping and doing nothing. Waiting on the Lord, for instance, on maybe a project, a business, is that with the time of waiting, you have not started that business, but that time of waiting, you are praying and doing research. Hello? You are doing research, okay? Getting understanding about that business, what it entails. You are doing background research. It's part of waiting, right? You are not sure when you should do a course, right? You know you should do that course, but you're not sure of the time. While you are waiting, you learn more about the course. You can even be doing the course before the course. Get information about the course. You're just preparing yourself to know all that the course. That is part of waiting. And you are praying also, engaging, waiting until the Lord gives signal. The thing is that if you apply that season, it's the same thing for traveling. You can know that you should travel, but you don't know when. And if you don't know when, you will keep struggling. You can apply and they'll deny you. They keep denying you. If you apply more, they'll deny you more. Yes. There was a time I applied for a visa and I was denied. Now, before I applied for that visa, I was invited to travel to go and minister. I even had an encounter that I saw that I traveled. But, of course, I was excited, so I started doing the runs and all that. And then I went. That day was even a bad day. I remember myself and mommy, we went. That was 2015. We went to UK embassy. That day, as I entered UK, I still had a prophetic encounter again. The Lord spoke to me about UK. I won't lie to you. I'm a man of the spirit. So, but often, you know, UK, they used to say that it is just a submission of form and all that. No interview and all that. And so, me and my wife were there. All of a sudden, they called me for interview. I won't lie to you. I had to tell them, what's this? I didn't know. I was not prepared. So I did a UK interview. The guy was, I was seeing a guy in the screen. I was out. He said, I should wear headgear. What's happening? He said, so he was asking me a question. I was totally destabilized. So I don't know what happened. When I left that place, I knew I would not be given visa. Some of us don't know. You know, we have faith. Me, I knew. A new signal. You know, some of you knew then when I applied and I was not granted. So immediately, my wife was saying, no, how would they do this? Let us reapply. I said, no. I said, no, I'm not applying again. I said, it's not your time. My own team know they work like that. I'm not like this. So I waited. I waited for 8 good years until the signal started coming. When the signal started coming, I got a confirmation. I was receiving the signal. I got a confirmation from Daddy. Once I got the confirmation, that was necessary because, you know, Daddy is my own pastor. Uh-huh. So I got a confirmation from him. So I just felt that, okay, let us go and apply. And we applied and it entered. Same thing for America. I have an American visa. Same thing. You see, that day when I entered into American embassy, I saw people. Come and see fear. I've never seen that kind of thing. If you have gone for American visa interview, it's like tabernacle. There's outer court. If there's camp. That is before you enter the gates. People will kill you. At that place, people start praying. Shapapapa, rekepe. I'm telling you. You see fear. Then you now, that's from camp. You now enter outer court. That place is like one hall. We all sit down. You see people, all kind of. What is happening there? We are not going to heaven. So after that, they will not call you. Okay, that's the only. I think it's 3. They will not call you into the holiest of all. By the time we enter the holiest of all, come and see the cloud change. Even me, they cover me. Because I didn't feel prepared. I just went there, you know. We felt it was the season and all that. God started telling us, you know, we need to travel for foreign work to minister abroad and all that. Okay, let's have this. So when I got there, I could touch fear in the atmosphere. I hear people say, oh my brele. Oh yeah. I say, me, oh my ready. It's just basic thing I was told, and I just went. So I just saw some white girls, about 7 of them. Their faces were stern. I was looking at them. In fact, when I got leading of the spirit direction on the way I should go. Of course, it is by calling, but I knew. I was just waiting in my spirit. I knew that it's this one. So I approached that particular gate, and the thing set. Why there were people there? If one man came there, Christians praying. So I said, I'm coming for my church convention. The lady said, I don't understand what you're saying. Because those girls, they are psychologists, they are programmed, they can read you. He said, I'm sorry, sir. They don't respect your church convention, sir. There's one man with Agbada before me. He was commanding, Pilate! Say, I'm not lying to you. But when it came to my turn, because the first thing was there was absolute peace. That's number one. Absolute peace. Number one, it's not a do or die thing. Number two, I believe that the season was there. So I just went. Few questions, not more than 5 minutes. And that was the end. So I did not even know that I passed or I failed. I was giving something. As I left, that people were screaming, oh, guy, you go. I'm a wherefore, sir. People were screaming. For people collected money from me by force. Say, oh, guy, USA. I was shocked. You are a guy, Mokotono, chef. You go wash your mouth. No, but this is a lesson that we can all learn. Can you act based on leading? You must be so accurate in the spirit to know when there's a time for something. When you will know, when you walk with God well more, you will know what to do, including marriage. You can be cutting a sister, but it's not the time to marry. Don't allow people to put you under undue pressure. If not, you will marry by yourself. When I was going to marry, Pastor, the first thing that I had, I picked in the spirit. Faith came first. It was first faith. It was first a substance. And I walked with that. And you must know that thing very well. For some of you, when you talk it, I look at you, I don't believe you. I must be sure that what you receive is substance. Once you have a substance at times, every other thing begins to gradually arrange. But I'm not doing that for everybody because I found that we are not at a different level of stature. For some of you, I say, go and get, because you see, if you have a problem with money, you will crash. For instance, people fighting on money, and in planning to get wedding, it shows your state. It's the truth. I am not playing down on you. It's your level. And when you're having money issues, when you start having those money issues, it's a state that you can't undo not having money. So wait. It's either you wait and grow or go and get a job and have money. Because you cannot handle pressure of money. You can't. You can't handle. So I found out that I found out that we're all at different level of maturity in terms of how to use the substance of the spirit to live. So I found out that at times I have more faith in people to marry than themselves. So I've stopped using my faith for them. I want their faith to grow. I think I've entered into marriage already. So God works in us in different ways. We have different nature, okay? So learn to get direction from the Spirit. If you're a hasty person, you can't use hastiness for life. You will make a lot of mistakes. Again, said it's better to be slow than to go ahead of God. But the best is to be at par with God. And you have to grow to that point where you are walking with God. As God takes a step, you take step. When you are growing, God has gone ahead. You are trying to catch up with God. When it's not good for you, you have gone ahead. God is calling you. Stop. Stop. If God is the one calling you, stop. Master, I need you, sir. Hello? That can be very dangerous. So you get what I'm saying? So don't be afraid. You just need more counseling. If you are confused, get more counseling, okay? You can come and meet me. I will let you know. And if it's not clear, anytime I give people counseling, if it's not clear to me what to do, what I tell you is that let us both wait. So when I say let us both wait, we are praying and checking for the right time. But I found out that most people are not too patient too. Their body, it's just like a children. When you say, Nathan, sit down. Sit down, Nathan. You go and sit down. After a while, he's doing like this. You just stand up. Sit down. You go back again. We find it difficult to be still. We have to learn that. That's a good training. Now, when you learn these things, it will not be hard to know when. Then when is also easy to know. Then you know when the Lord speaks to you. And then you know when the time is right. It's just a place of being mastering the voice of God based on fellowship. Did you know your parents to the point that when they don't talk, you see their face, you know what they mean? That's how God is. So there are certain things I don't do because when I check the sign, when I check the temperature of the spirit, it's not ripe. I say, let us wait. Let us just wait. You know when something is ripe. It's just like when it wants to rain. You know, at times, you don't know when it wants to rain, but at times, when you wait more, you see the clouds forming. Yeah. Then you start seeing the first dream, Ujumaro. That is how it is in the spirit. When Elijah said, I hear an abundance of rain, he was talking about certain things that have already begun to form, even before he saw the cloud. You know, it was when he saw the cloud that he began to Yes. But he could pick a sound. So even before the cloud formed, he could pick the, he could study the realm of the spirit to know that something is about coming very soon. We should know God that much. Can we say amen? That's why you should start hearing God before the choice of marriage. You have been using hearing God, and we know. We can see you leading of the Spirit already walking in your life. It's not the day you married. It's not when you don't start using leading of the Spirit. It doesn't work that way. You have used leading of the Spirit to obey God, leading of the Spirit to serve, leading of the Spirit to sow. The Lord has never led you to sow. But now that you want to marry sister, that is when you are hearing God. Take it easy. Leading of the Spirit is not like that. When you have mastered leading of the Spirit with other things, it's easy to get it in other areas. And the Lord does not start leading. It's not like the Lord will not start leading of the Spirit with you for ministry. The day, you have not been doing leading of the Spirit. God has not led you to serve or to get instruction to stay under. But God gives you instruction to start ministry. God does not work that way. Hallelujah. That is responsible of the kind of ministers we have in church today. Many of them never had leading to ever serve, but they had leading to start. So we know the kind of quality of ministry we are going to have. Quality is attached to training. So what quality of home do you want to raise? Is it dependent on how the Lord trained you before that time? Very important. Amen. Okay, I think have I expired that question? Take me. Uh-huh. So it's not hard. So let's spend more time. But I said get counseling, okay? Why don't I say people should come? They don't come. That's another, I suspect you. I've said it many times here. If I answer a question, okay, come and meet me for further clarity. Nobody ever comes. Why are you running away? People should not be running away from understanding. I'm not a bad pastor. Yes. I do not. I make my boast in the Lord. I am a special pastor. I'm not a quack pastor. All these pastors that are looking for your money. I don't need your money, sir. I will tell you the truth the way it is. I know that when they say, come for special counsel. So people don't come. That's even a privilege. That I tell you that come, let me give you further understanding. Because you don't want to now know what the will of God is, then you run away. Why your question, give. Don't do like that. You should want clarity. If the answer is yes or no, you should want to hear it. So don't be afraid when I say come for additional clarity. Because at times, we just need to ask one or two questions to now know the exact answer to give you. That's how it works. Do you still love me? All right. Okay, so this is the next question. So how do I differentiate between my thoughts and inner witness? First of all, okay, be familiar with God's word a lot. Because the word of God, your inner witness and your thoughts should not contradict the word. Basic level. All right? Because you grow in mastering these things. As you grow more, you can differentiate. The reason why you will not be able to easily differentiate them is that you are still growing. So, but what shapes what is called inner witness and thoughts of God from your thoughts? What differentiates them? That the thoughts of God does not contradict the word of God or contradict doctrine. God, inner witness, thoughts of God does not contradict sound doctrine. So the first thing I say, expose yourself to sound teaching. If you are part of this church and you have been part of a member of this church, I can guarantee you are feeding well. Right? If you do that for a while, your inner witness will be awoken. You will know that this is consistent with the word and with the doctrine that is being taught from the scriptures. So that is how you know inner witness. It does not contradict doctrine. It does not contradict sound word. how something is strange is if it's contradicting the word. Okay? Now, in the realm of thoughts, you see, some of us, because of stage of growth, the more you grow, the more your thoughts can be controlled. Some of us, our problem is that we can't control our thoughts. So the thing is always bustling. So it's very difficult to know your thoughts and God's thoughts and Satan's thoughts. All these things is growth that makes you master them. Just like Elijah could pick the still small voice in the midst of so much noise. You know, remember that experience? He could pick the still small voice. It's his training over time. You know that at times it's just like when something enters into water to do all kind of ripple effect, then over a time, then the water settles. So when you have a lot of bustling thoughts, you are worried, your day went, that is not the time to know if once something is God's thought. I'm teaching you now from experience are your thoughts. Wait till when you want to go and sleep. And if you want to go and sleep, pray a little. Or listen to worship. As your mind settles, your thoughts will settle down. God's word will stand out distinct. God's thoughts will always stand out. When you knock, everything's just, I don't even know. It's like, everything's just doing go. It means that your waters is troubled. So create something, an atmosphere that settles your water. And what is that? Worship. So at times, I just learn to play some kind of soft worship. Not even praise. You know, somebody say, that's not what you pray. You don't need somebody to say, that one can. You must understand spiritual atmosphere. Somebody say, amen. Somebody say, hey, this kind of. For me, this is me, oh. I go for Domoen or Buffet. Or Lenny LeBlanc. I have them like I'm old school. Or Paul Wilbur. Or W. Smith. I have some people like that when I hear their worship, it produces some kind of calmness around me. The trouble in my soul settles down. Then the thoughts of God stands out. That's how you know. Thought of God, God's thought, it's always authoritative. It will stand. But it's always gentle. God is not loud. But it will just stand and say, okay, this is what God says. If you don't get it before you go and sleep, because you journeyed into some kind of rest before you sleep, two things can happen. Either in your dreams or when you wake up. First thought when you wake up. Well, I'm not getting people's attention. That same thought will stand out. So normally, because of that culture of the spirit, I normally don't play with my first thoughts when I wake up in the morning. Something just stands out. I know the Lord is. Or that time, I might just get a pull to pray. And of course, that's the best time to pray. Then you just go and pray. When you are praying, as you are praying, the thought begins to rise. So it's not hard. It's just fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. Creating an atmosphere of the Spirit around you. Don't allow anger to sleep with you. Those are the things that make it difficult for people to hear God. Don't allow malice or bitterness to sleep with you. When those things sleep with you every day, you know what they are doing? They are poisoning your spiritual system. They are deadening it and making it insensitive to pick God, to pick the word of God, to pick the thoughts of God. So when you want to go and sleep, forgive everybody that offended you that day. Hallelujah. How you know? When you have a thought of somebody and when you think about that person, your heart is boom. Pray for that person and release that person. You may not be able to call the person, but release the person in your soul. Say, Father, I forgive this person. Forever wrong word, act, I release the person. And I receive the right environment of the Spirit around my soul. And as you do that, you can go and sleep. God will always make his will known. To you. Another thing if you are in a very, very good church, it will be confirmed through the teaching. The teaching will reach it. It will, after you have gotten that confirmation, the teaching will come and give another confirmation. And you just feel that the message, have you ever been in a meeting that the message is as if they designed it for you? It was you that God thought of, that he moved the minister to focus on that issue so that he will let you know beyond doubt that that is what he wants you to do. So in the atmosphere of teaching, sound teaching, your heavens are clear. And that's why when it's an atmosphere of sound teaching, don't play with what God is saying at that time. Because the heavens are clear. You'll be able to pick it clearly. They have pushed away some kind of things already. Your heavens are light. So you can pick what God is saying. I don't know if I've said anything.
Yes,
all right. Glory to God. So all of us should cultivate a strong atmosphere of fellowship and intimacy with the Spirit, with the Lord. It helps you to really pick God's thoughts. And, you know, judge something that is an inner witness to do the will of God concerning a matter. All right? And then fall back on teachings of leading of the Spirit, how to be led by the Spirit. And if our first Bible study for the year, after I finish this teaching on armor of meekness, we'll be talking around communion, developing personal communion with the Lord. Very important. Okay, are we blessed? Okay. Please, what's the difference between loving someone and forbearing them? When you forbear somebody, you are loving them. So there's no difference. Forbearing is not, You forbear somebody, amen. When you are forbearing somebody, you are kind to them. That's how you know that you are loving them. So forbearance is not different from love. Forbearance is a fruit of love. What did I say forbearance is? So when you are forbearing somebody, how you master forbearing, because forbearing too is in stages. When you are forbearing someone, at times you may not have, they may still irritate you while you are forbearing them. Instead of running away, forbear more. Forbear to the point that you can forbear them without them irritating you. That is how you know you have mastered forbearance. And that's why you know that your love is complete for that person. Your love for someone may not be complete yet. You love the person, but it has not been proven to the love is not strong enough because you can't bear the person. The person will do something that will tip you off. So that tipping off is not a good sign for you. And instead of running away, use that to develop strength. So forbear more. All right? Forbear more with the, now in most circumstances, your brethren, right? Forbear them more. Pray more, receive more strength to forbear. But you know, you have to fall back on my teaching on anatomy of love. That's a very important teaching. Remember my teaching on anatomy of love? Oh, people have forgotten the teaching. Eh? Yes. It's a series on love, the excellent way. I did a teaching on anatomy of love. I hope you have not forgotten that teaching. Because you need that teaching. Because that teaching gives you discernment to handle different kind of people. You know, you understand correction, you understand forbearance, you understand forgiveness. You understand the dynamics. So, forbearing is love. Alright? And it is loving somebody, bearing with their infirmities, yet you are still kind to them. Normally, for instance, maybe somebody offends you and you do some things for them. The natural thing that normal man does is to withdraw that thing. But forbearance will teach you that God is good to both good and evil. You know, it is a Yoruba thing. That's Yoruba love. God's love does not function that way. You may have offended me, and I'll still do everything I need to do to you like I was doing before. So if you are judging my actions for my love, you will miss me. You will miss it because you will not even know. My actions will be consistent. My emotions are stable. Because my love to you is not dependent on you. It's dependent on my love to God, my walk with God. So I will keep loving you and believing the best of you. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. Yes, that's how it works. So forbearance is love, okay? So you don't need to know the difference. Just understand that when you forbear someone, you are loving the person. That's the attitude of love for that person, that you need to forbear more. You forbear someone's infirmity until they realize something and change. This works most likely in a close relationship. Forbearance does not work in distant relationships. You don't need to forbear somebody that you meet once a year. Hello? You have not answered me. I don't need to forbear somebody I see in Beacon once a year. Because after that 1 week, I'm not seeing you until 1 year. You know, because you can just, it's not, you forbear people that you have constant. Forbearance works more in the context of a close relationship. Brethren, life, marriage, church, people that you meet all the time. So this question is relatable to a close relationship. People that you know, people that know you, are the people you either forbear. In fact, they are the people you even forgive. Now, sir, Apostle Jagaban online, you don't. He has not offended you. That's why he's your pastor. Hello? He didn't offend you. He didn't do anything. So you love him. That's my mentor, sir. Yes, I understand. He's your mentor, but he doesn't know you. You don't know his weakness. He has not rebuked you before. He has not told you, get behind me, Satan. He has not told you, I don't want to see your face. Say, but you are my mentor, sir. Yes, I don't want to see your face. You have not, so you don't even know him. Now, it is people that offend you are people you know. They are people you have close relationship with. So forbearance and forgiveness works most times in the context of what? Close relationship. So most likely, your brethren, your household, your spouse, your local church. That is where issues of offense rise. And this is where you use forgiveness and forbearance. Are we on the same page?
Yes, sir.
So when you love someone, you are forbearing. When you forbear someone, it's love. Okay, but you know love has many sides. All right? When you forgive someone too, you are loving that person. Forgiveness is love. Some people don't see forgiveness as love. Some people see, okay. That cannot be love. That can be deception. Like correction also is love. Because someone, the way you interpret it, somebody that does not correct you loves you. Somebody that corrects you all the time does not love me. You have to change that setting. It's the wrong setting. You can't even approach the Father of Spirits that way. Because the Father of Spirits corrects, he chastens and scourges. If he's going to receive you, he will trim you. He will collect basketballs. You go see water. God is loving, but he's tough. God has tough love. Yes. When you are getting close to the Father, you will, and you are touching his love, his discipline angle. The Father is a tough lover and he's very firm. He won't change his mind on an issue. If you don't do this, he doesn't change his mind. And that commandment, if you do it, you are going to die. Complete death. And that's how he wants you. He wants you completely dead so that he can come and raise you back. Oh, you didn't hear what I said?
Yes,
glory to God. So how do you truly love someone in your heart that is resentful towards you? And when you are mastering love, you understand? Your love is stronger than the resentment. You understand? Thank you. I was studying the Gospels recently. I just had a pull to go back to the Gospels. So I studied on the point, Jesus' beatitude. That's my personal study. And then I stumbled on the place when Jesus said, love your enemies. And I told my wife, I said, Nigerian Christianity does not like this. Nigerian Christianity kills everybody. And some of the fastest growing church, they are the ones that kill very fast. I didn't mention anybody's name. But your enemies are not flesh and blood. Love, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Now, these are enemies in human. Jesus is using enemies in the context of physical people now. Jesus didn't say anything. The only commandment they gave is that you should love them. Now, this love is saying that you should forbear them. That's all. Keep forbearing them. Keep forbearing them and be kind to them. That's the least we can go. But love your enemies and bless them that curse you. You don't understand. You know somebody is fighting and spoiling what you are doing. And when you think about it, say, Father, I bless you. I bless this brother. I say it is blessed with them, blessed with their children, blessed with all they are doing. That it looks foolish in Yoruba culture. I know I'm a Yoruba person. I don't know about Igbo culture, but yeah, I know Yoruba culture. You can be a pastor. You are a shepherding pastor. You will walk with Jesus. They will remove Igbo from your mouth. You don't know how to curse. I can. Have you ever seen me curse somebody before? I can curse somebody and look at a child of God and say, ah! You wrong the anointing. So people have offended me many times, dishonored me and all that. I just walk away. You not even know you offended me. I don't even have time to explain to you. I just forgive them. They are ignorant. God, show them mercy. I use it to grow. That's all. So Bible says you bless them that curse you. When I got to this verse, I was so excited. I had to mark my Bible again. Do good to them that hate you. This is Jesus' teaching. None of us here have somebody that hates us. That your brother does not hate you. It's just a nature problem. Do you know what when somebody hates you? They are harming you. Like Alexander to Paul. Who is harming you here? Tell me. Only very some of us here that maybe some of us, you have a unique challenge. And probably we know about it. But nobody's really harming you. I don't harm me, so. You don't know what it means to harm you. Somebody that wants to even take your life physically. And you know. You are not at that level. The challenge you have, there are still small ones. Not like somebody is really going after you. I'm saying somebody close. You can come into a season of your walk with God that you have such kind of oppositions. But you have used brethren love to train yourself. Because a time will come that people will really go after what you are doing. They will go after, if you're a minister, they can go after you. Go after your walk. Try to assault the heart of the saints you are pastoring. Try to make them bitter. Those are evil. Those are evil. Amen. So what will you do when you get to that stage? So now, start learning to forgive people, forbear people, pray for them. If somebody is hurting you, you think that they are harming you, you have a tendency to curse. Bless. Bless intentionally. There's nobody that does not want their children to do it. Pray for their children. Bless them. Even if they don't have children yet, bless them in the womb. Or whatever they are still coming from. Keep blessing. Let your mind be full of blessing. 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 Can we say amen? Amen. Okay, I think I've answered that question fully, right? Let's go to the next. I must never catch any member of this church cursing. If I catch you, I will not take it easy with you. Maybe you are here for some months, I can still permit you. If I mean under this, my teaching, for more than 2 years, you should have learned enough to avoid anything that will cause. Instead of causing, you walk away. Or you pray in the spirit. You just walk away. All right. Okay, Pastor Tayo said that marriage decisions. Let me first tell you what Pastor Tayo. Pastor Tayo is a guest minister. Oftentimes, a guest minister does not have time to handle many things. So when he speaks from an angle. Because I'm also a guest minister somewhere. And when I'm a guest minister and I preach somewhere, I leave pastoral issues to the pastors of the house. Where a guest minister cannot pastor a congregation he knows nothing about. Does not know souls about. So he's saying something from an angle. He does not address everything. And probably, if he had more time, he may have done that. Because he even touched one. He said, he still balanced it. He said, submit to your pastor. But you will not hear that one. That's why I said, yeah, well. He says, submit to your pastor. So I said, hey, don't you say yes? It doesn't work that way. So for me, for instance, when I go for itinerary, I don't even do so much of pastoring. Anytime I go and minister outside, okay, maybe a few times, depending on how long I stayed there. If I go somewhere and minister just two sessions, I can't do so much pastoring. Most time I minister as a prophet and a teacher. It is when I'm in City Gate Church that I minister more pastorally. Even in convention. How do I minister in convention? So somebody that listens to me on convention platform is shocked when I talk about marriage. But you listen to me. Are you shocked when I talk about marriage? He was pastor here that was saying this, you know. When he listened to my message, he said, but Pastor Jimmy, you are a very fiery preacher. I didn't know you have this convention. I have it, sir. But I can't be sure. Convention is not for marriage talk. It's for very high anointed. There's a kind of garment I wear. I wear the agbada of spirits. I wear prophetic garments. Let us open doctrine. But when I'm in City Gate Church, there's almost no teaching I will teach. Sir, you can't escape that marriage, sir. By now you should know. And it's not done deliberately. It's pastoral grace. That's how pastoral grace works. I touch marriage. I don't talk only marriage. I touch finances and work. If you don't like work, you can't stay under my anointing. There is no way I will say go and work. We touch the all brethren life. All those things you see, they are pastoral anointing. So, yes. So this now concludes it. So when it comes to decision for marriage, it's not between you and God alone. That's just one side of the matter. After you have concluded that this is God, the next thing to do is to submit it, because you are under covering. God puts you in a local church. You have elders above you. The sister you marry should be also be in a church under covering. Nobody marries somebody from the streets. The person is part of a physical family. So, okay, listen, let me give you an example. The will of God is somebody, right? The person, Baba Konlobi. So you go and meet the father. It's the will of God to marry your daughter. He will slap you. If that man says no, it's no, it's no. You have to go and pray. Me, I will never say you should go ahead outside parental consent. We will beg and beg. We will have begged to a point. They will not know what to do. Because I know that thing. How Satan can use that door to enter. We will beg. Except the parents are really demonic. But we will beg to the point that everything that is the issue of their heart, they will say it. You know, I understand that begging thing. I took my parents to go and beg my father-in-law. You don't know what it means to take your father to beg for you. I said, So my father took his friend that is an Ijesha man to go. We went to Elisha to beg. I said, I don't care about begging. I received you from the vows of the Spirit. Sir, you are foolish. If you are under a pastor that has fed you, you grow up under that pastor, he taught you well. If he says wait, if you don't wait, you may harm yourself. It's also very important because they know you. They know the temperature around you. Those are areas that you should not, don't be quick to just break it and move into it. Because there are things that you don't know. It can be in the future 5 years, in the future 10 years. So you have to wait and get confirmation. And that is, it makes it safer. So, well, I know that we have bad churches. Let me not say bad churches, maybe bad ministers. So that is why the most important thing in your life is your church. One of the most important decisions you can make in your life is the kind of church you put your head under. The kind of minister you put your head under. It is very important though, because a lot depends on it. The kind of environment you fellowship. If it's a church that they are giving to sound doctrine and they are pursuing the will of God, that environment will further the purpose of God in your life. If it's an environment that it is GBT that they are doing, they will GBT your soul. So it's an environment of the spirit. So this is what I mean. If after you have concluded something, that this is the will of God for the marriage, the next thing is you approach the leadership of the church and you submit and give them the opportunity to check what you have received before going ahead. Not that you have cornered the sister. I'm going to even do a series. We are going to have a meeting with the singles. I'll teach you kingdom ethics for marriage. This one we have not taught before. I will teach you. I'll open the Bible. You'll see it. It's not like you have cornered the sister. Let me explain what I mean. Amaka, come. You know Amaka is a beautiful girl. Yeah. Hallelujah. So look at Amaka here. Who will not like this kind of girl? Please don't lie. Emmanuel, say, all due respect, sir. Now, you know, interesting, I can use it. Emmanuel came to meet me concerning her. I delayed him. I delayed him for close to 4 years. So, but he kept coming and coming and coming and coming. I delayed him for 4 years. After a while, I said, this guy has been coming for 4 years. Maybe you'll love Gary Loto. That's how I judged it. And so now, you are close to this fine damsel. You have now, you want her. And there's nothing bad. Right? But now you have received her. Then you are already, you didn't just toast, you have roasted. You know what I'm talking about? When you roast something, it's ready to be eaten. Then after the roasting stage, then you now sit down, Amaka. Then you now go and meet Pastor. Actually, Pastor, there's a sister, and I believe it's the will of God. That is not how they do it. Don't taste before going to meet leadership. He that believeth does not want. I know you love her, you don't want her to be lost. Or you don't want your brother to come and take her. Part of he that believeth does not make taste. That if it's your own, nobody can take it. Can we tell brothers in the house, say, relax. Relax. Come on, relax. Relax. That sister is not running away. She's not running away. She's not running away. Just relax. Huh? We want the process to have its due course. So I am going to have a teaching where I will handle everything. Don't worry. It's going to be a day's teaching. We'll come. I'll talk about it. The pastors who will share will talk about ethics. Because some of you don't know this thing well. And you think that they are controlling you. Nobody's controlling you. Nobody's controlling you, right? This is not a controlling church. We don't control people. If I don't bug people about details of their lives, it's only when I know I have to make serious decisions. About marriage. So like I said, at best, marriage is very communal. Because now we are returning to community days. You know, in those days, if you want to marry, they'll go and research the family. They'll know what kind of house are you coming from. Why they are doing those things is that they want to know, because the house you came from will determine the house you are going to build. Believe me, I didn't... It is a matters. My eye don't see. I know. How the atmosphere that raised you as a man, if God does not retrain you, you will deploy it in your home. Naturally. If you grow up under angry parents and quarrelsome parents, and the Lord has not retaught you, you will be an angry husband and a quarrelsome wife. Naturally. Because we tend to live out more what we see. So God has to retrain you. So that's one advantage. That when they send you to brethren house and you relearn, all those things is to jump what you have before and to get new culture. And that's why we need good families also. That people can be trained in. Imagine that you came from a family that your daddy and mom used to do gazebos. You now went to brethren house, they are doing gazebos. It's a problem. They have to rewrite that law inside you. Sure, you get what I'm talking about. And so, So it is a family thing. What we teach in the house is right. And Pastor Ty was not countering that. He was only speaking from a context. You know, we have different kind of church environments. But I can say this City Gate Church is more of a family church. We're very family-like. And that's how the New Testament should be. So the decision of who to marry, you receive it, yes, fine, but it has also be witnessed to. Bold witness confirmation from your leadership and even your brethren. Me, I don't understand. You're a sister, you're in a room with sisters, and you conceive a brother. Oh, they saw, I am a Nika. What kind of sister are you? You should be praying with your sisters. Say, sister, this is what is happening. Maybe not all, maybe two out of them. The Lord is speaking to me concerning brother Gbemi. Can we pray about it? In a normal context, your sisters will know. They will know. They will know that we know. When they are praying, they will know. That's how. Same thing with brothers. In fact, before it gets to leadership, that is where you first begin the initial cooking of the thing. Then after you have prayed, your brother says, what is your time, Colori Pastor, man? Go and see Pastor GP first and Pastor Etu Abasi. Then your brethren are the one advising you on the right thing because they are advising you based on culture of the house and the ethics of the spirit. Well, you conceive a brother. Or for instance, this one is not the worst thing. Your sister is interested in a brother and you know, and you receive that brother. You are not a good person. Yes, you are not a good person. The day you know that your sister had received that brother first and that brother came to you, you kill it immediately. I said, I let it go. You delete it. I've had to handle that. Now, a brother has queued for a sister and he has come to leadership. And I said, wait, this sister is a little sister. What did I say the sister is? Now, you come and approach me now for Anu. It can be the will of God, and it can be not. I'm not, amen. No, it can be. Maybe you have picked it ahead. Sir, don't come and meet me now. You will see fire. You know that Pastor Dimeji can be a lion. You see, the way I know it is to me is the way some of my daughters in the house are. I don't want you to come and tell me about marriage. Because I see them that they're still budding. Want it fresh. I still want them to acquire one or two things. The idea is that before you approach a woman, you must find a wife in her. Brothers, am I talking to you? They didn't say he that findeth a wife. She's not married though. So number one, as a brother, you need to know what a wife is. Many of you don't know. You must. The lady is a wife already. She just needs to be deployed to. Now, if she's in a brethren's house, you can see wife properties in her. How do you know? Ask the brethren in the house. Some of you don't even do research. Your love is so blinding. I'm in love. Love one titty. So that's your love. Does not have judgment enough to even research about the qualities of the girl. Is she virtuous? Is she submissive? Is she an homemaker? Is she quarrelsome? Now you have heard God. Hearing God is not enough, sir. Shefe Goto. It's not enough, sir. It's part of it, but it's not full. You have to hear this one. A lot of people have heard God when they started and they met something. Hey! I didn't hear God. A minimal sorrow for me. Just small blessing close. No, God, I'm sure. Shabarakata. You didn't speak to me. Lord, you did not speak. It's like one Willow's comedy I watched. The brother went to minister to the sister, proposed to her. He was not describing. He said, I received you on the day of the Shabbat, the 10th day of the month, when the Holy Ghost said, my son. So after he finished, the sister said, hey, okay, I said, I don't have womb. So I'm sure the Holy Ghost must have ministered to you. Say, Holy what? Holy, Holy Spirit, did not speak to me. The sister said, I don't have womb. Meaning I cannot give birth. So I'm sure God spoke to you. Ah, no, sister, I'm very sorry. I actually meant something else. So that is how some of you are. God spoke to you. By the time you now start getting close to the sister, you say something. Maybe you just saw the sister and one day, you are afraid. Tell him about Bambi, sir. Amen. Some of you brothers, don't lie. You have heard a sister. Then you now get close. Then you are not confused if you heard. Mark Barro. Some of you are like that. You are not sure. Okay. Ah. Maureen Kosa. In Kotori. Eh? Oh, out where hearing. Eh? Mark Barro, sir. Or jewelry in law, sir. There are other things you use to judge who and who not to marry. The will of God is more than a person. So I will lecture you, and don't worry, another class. You will enjoy yourself. We will prepare. You will have something you are using, you will be eating that day because it will be a long meeting. All right. So I just give you small biscuits. The real food is coming. But it's going to be a blessing to you. Hallelujah. And you know, the very beautiful thing about courtship, relationship in a community, in brethren life is beautiful. For instance, in those times, my wife, I was interested in her, but she was amidst sisters. I loved all of them. Because they are our friends. They are sisters and they are also my sister. Your relationship should not cause commotion. It's a family thing. I love her, but I love them all. And they are even the ones that make the way for me. Ah, you know, we love Brother Jimeji. We love him. They are telling now. Ah, Brother Enti, nice. You're more lonely, Brother Enti. Killer mean. Check with the other brothers. They are not other brothers. That brother is special. Say, you see, brethren, like, very good. All those things are confirmations. Now, they are now confirming the fruit of that brother, the fruit of his life that they have seen and experienced. You didn't go and marry a brother that is only you that processed. Nobody saw his attitude. They didn't know that only fun, little Luyokpa. Nobody saw it because you manifested it from anywhere. So at times, your judgment can fail. As a pastor, I've experienced that. Somebody can be doing well spiritually in many areas. In the area of marriage, they need help. Like my son. He's a powerful man. He's very anointed. But in that area, he needed another. That's where fathers, it's not even me. That's where older men in the assembly come in. We'll be by. It's because they know. Why would they know? See, let me tell you. Somebody that has married for 20 years and he married well knows many things you don't know. You know, I was telling my wife, by the grace and mercy of God, we clocked 45 by March. I married when I was 28. Now, imagine my 45-year-old now going to counsel my 25-year-old self. Now, imagine. Now, I'm 45. I've learned a lot. And I went back into time. And I met my 28th version. And I sat him down. And I began to speak to him. What will that 28th man be? He will be 45 years old at 28. Sir, don't run ahead. We know things that you don't know. So you will have my wisdom at a lesser age. Huh? Without bruises, sir. You he will be wiser, sir. I wish that can happen. I will run better. There are some mistakes I will not make. There are some of the things I tell some of the pastors, don't go this area, do this. It's because I probably did not get it right at that time. It took me longer time to master some of those things. I can say, when it comes to this area, this is what you do. So in New Testament church, you need elders. Old men that has gone ahead of you. They have more experience. They guide you. They help you. They tell you. What is this? As an old young girl that you want to marry, you need to have older women that are submitted to that assembly that can guide you. Maybe 3 years ahead of you, 4 years ahead of you. They can help you. And you see that their marriage is okay. They have something to add in your life. Don't do re-can-can. This is how you do. They can help you. That's the work of older women and older men. It's not just older women. Older men helps the young men. They will teach you how to be gentle. Maybe you have a challenge. First year of your marriage, your wife is a little bit quarrelsome. You can't meet an older man. Maybe you went to meet a doctor. He has about 10 years experience in marriage. Doctor will just say that, just laugh. Don't worry. This is what you do. When she's talking like that, just smile. Hug and kiss her. She just needs affection. If fellow need. Oh, money now. Oh, more. You just say, I don't like. Why she can't? If fellow need. Just tell her that, baby, I love you. The baton. But you did not know. For me, it took me a while to know some of those things. We didn't have that opportunity to have people we talk to regularly. It took me time to master mommy. But you don't need, go and buy a gift for her. Make it a surprise. It's not as hard as that. Naturally, some men don't even know women. And they want to marry. They don't know anything. How you treat your sisters is how you treat your wife. So when I see you handle your sisters roughly. Ole, but sister, I on assure. Baba Shaman Bam so eh? Bang, I can't be controlled. I pity you. I pity you, sir. Sir, I'm on your control, sir. My wife control me, sir. You know, daddy gave one comment one time in Beacon. He said, how many men are here? He said, he heard it. So how many men are here that your wife does not control? Everybody raised their hand. They said, okay. Then one man just came out and said, Then I said, only you? That your wife did not control? You're a powerful man. So where is your wife? He said, it's the one that said I should come. Most son in Yoruba. Women are like that. Some areas I just leave it. And so that, I'll show you. Kodato. I don't fight on Kodato Yegba. See, this is not hard. This one is not spirituality. It's just understanding a woman. A woman is worried about you. It's not herself. She's worried about how you look. The man shape that. You are not fighting now. Shebi Rumini. You are not wise. It's not your hair. It's her hair. The way you look matters to her. When you don't look well, it's like an insult to her. Say me, I don't care. You got anything? I want him. I want him. Care. Care. Your wife cares. It took me time to learn. No, I don't fight anymore. Call up the house, Nipo. Heavenly color. Anything. I didn't know before. Let there be peace, sir. I love peace, sir. Me, I don't want trouble. Like that man said, I want trouble. Always. Me, I want peace. Always. So maybe we should have men's fellowship. And I'll just like married men talk about a woman. So that you have sense, some of you guys. You'll not be fighting unnecessary fight. What are you fighting? She's controlling you. It's not controlled, but she really is, sir. Even the one that is not talking is a lie. Williams, am I lying? Who just married recently? Paul, am I lying? But Ade, am I lying? You know, Blessing looks very gentle. Sir, I'm humble, sir. When you somebody marry you first year, you are corona. When Okwe, before you buy it, even the way Okwe prayer that has changed. Oh, shabalabala! Oh, shabalabala! When you buy the shabalabala, shabalabala, shabalabala. Honestly, be Okwe, sir. Anyway, I'm telling you the truth, I lie it not. So even understanding the way a woman is, their makeup. One thing I found out that everything about a woman, including on the bed, I will not speak about that because that is a mystery to some, will always teach you patience. Yeah. Everything about a woman is a school of patience. Yes, everything about a woman is, if you rush a woman, you are going to receive the fruit of that rushing back. Don't rush. Take your time. Understand. Everything about a woman is a school of patience. On the man. It's the truth now. Everything about a woman is to teach you to be patient. So if not, why come? You'll be messing up every day. You'll be fighting every day. Honestly, I'm just patient. You know, so tell me and mommy, our issue was time. In marriage, that was maybe the thing that almost caused the issue. Because me, I'm a time person. I keep to time. But my wife, I used to call her a professional late comer. So we used to have an issue. So why I so with that? We have to get a little choice. No, she ain't got to show any. Emma been in show for to magician go. But I like to make church. Then later I say, Emma Longman. That's a woman. When you say Emma Longman, I just say, no. I won't go. Let me tell you, if everyone says my number, sir, don't worry, get late. Pastor will understand. Malo, sir. Resolve it. Fogma, if not, trap, no fun, sir. Oti, there, them I get here. So I just say, okay, sweetheart, it's okay. I will be cool, I will be calm, I will wait for her. I will rage. Me, I'm dying to myself. So after the thing turned, mommy was not the one that wants to be early. Me, I've now mastered how to be late. He said, oh yeah, let's come along. You must not get late. Me, I'll just be laughing myself. Because to me, I know what I went through. To get to the point where I don't care anymore. That issue could have caused an issue at home. It was wisdom. I had to die to the pride. A lot of pride I died to. If you are late and you come and tell me, Pastor, can shame you? I will understand. I'm a father. I'll say, okay, you are wise. I'll give you my own keys. Don't use that to allow Satan to scatter your home. There's nothing that cannot cause Satan to scatter your home. Anything. Satan just needs one thing. Anything. And anything is anything. Anything. So at times, just learn to master and say, I'm sorry. Jomabin. Let it not be far from your mouth. What do you mean? Holy shame. If you are like that, you are not wise as a man. Yes, you have authority in the home, but you have to demonstrate Christ-likeness a lot. Oh, so I'm sorry, sweetheart. I hope I'm not stressing you. Just go and quickly do it. Easy. You are living. That is how to be an example. Over time, you will get the respect of your wife. You just need to die more. I don't know. This place is now gentle. I've taken time on this issue, man. So I just said I should help you a little bit. Some of you are not wise. I want men, by the time you want to go and marry, I'm not saying be a perfect man, but masterpiece. Be a man of peace. Meaning that, if you're a man and you like fighting, some men are very petty. Everything, they fight on every single thing. And they talk me into this way. Sir, that's why it's good to live among ladies before you marry. Because they will have talked anything, anyway to you. So, you don't know, it's the truth now. Oh, Rory Egba. You will have gone through all kind of insult. It's not an issue. Your wife can insult you, doesn't mean she's a bad woman. She's a good woman, she's just pressured. And she said what she's not supposed to say. Don't hold it against her. And build doctrine on it. Thank you. Buy a little for me. Now, buy a little for me. Can you wash it for me? Maybe you did not give her attention. For some women, not giving them attention is enough for her to cause trouble. She wants to fight you. And if she wants to fight you, sir, there's nothing you can do. Down tools. Just down tools. Down tools. She's going to win you in that battle. Down tools. And change your attitude. And say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I'm not be giving you attention. I'm very sorry. Mabinu, can we go out tomorrow? Can I make it up to you? Be wise. No, that's not how you do. Is that how Mommy Fisayo is? Is that Mommy Eli is? That's why I say you should listen to Mommy Adebola. Shut up. I've never told my wife to say, go and listen to Mommy Adebola. I've never said it that way. Because it doesn't work that way. Allow her to grow now. Like you two, you're also growing. There's room for growth in marriage. What did I say? Some people are not answering me. All right, let's go ahead. These things, you can't rush them. Sure, you know. Amen. I hope you like what I'm saying to you. Hallelujah. So what can someone do if you notice that you are already entangled with a brother or a sister and you are even thinking of moving the relationship further, next level, maybe marriage, but you have not followed the right steps of letting the necessary spirituality know. And retrace your footsteps. Go and confess. Let alone seeking counsel and proof of what? Go and confess your sin. Simple. Daddy. Motin Jemmy or Rose Nikon. Motin Jessica already, sir. Not physically, but spiritually. I'm already eating of the sweetness of relationship. You know, there's a relationship that has entered into courtship. So courtship permits some level of closeness. Brother, sister does not permit some level of closeness. There are boundaries. She's your brother. She's your sister. Even courtship does not permit late night chatting. It's the truth now. There are boundaries. You should not have woken love. Because if you are courting, if you have more tendency for sexual temptation during time of courtship. So you can sleep with yourself before marriage if you're not careful. So you have to be careful to manage your emotions. Because now officially it's approved that both of you are in courtship. Manage your emotions. Don't necessarily awaken love. Chatting with a lady, your sister that you are courted with in an ungodly hour is not good. You say, kiss me. You not do swear on chat. So that kissing. You want to cause problem. You want her to be thinking about you alone. Are you Jesus Christ? You're not going to help her spiritually. Imagine if the lady is just thinking about you. Only you all the time is love song. I've been thinking about you. I've been thinking about you. Boom, boom. That's a love song in our own time. Boom, boom. That's what your soul is singing. So you want to see her every day. Sir, what is your obsession? Take it easy. Calm down. Let her grow. Let her... All the things that you stop her from doing now. So what you want married to Bani? You want to know mama paru up and down. Hey, Pastor, she can't do this. That's why I don't know what she's doing. You did not allow her to grow. You did confuse her heaven with chat keys. So there's boundary. That is even for those that are cutting that the leadership of the church know. Talk less of you, sir. So please, there are boundaries. Keep those boundaries, okay? Let them stay there. Right? Let elder relationship be among brethren. Honor your sister. Much more honor their body. If anybody touches you wrongly, slap them. I give you permission. Slap them then. Slap them, because when you slap them, they actually come back to their senses. I'm sorry. Let's come back to their senses. Don't allow yourself to be experimented before marriage. There's a beauty on not defiling that sacred part. Wait. No ring in until ring on. What did I say? He that has a ear. All right. That's the last question, right? So how can I deal with securing thoughts and feelings of having sex, watching pornography and masturbation and lust towards the people of opposite sex? It's because you have trained yourself with those things. You have to retain your mind. I'll give you a scripture to just to help you for that. This is from someone who is trusting God to overcome sexual sins of watching pornography and masturbation. All right? Those things don't happen one time, but you see, you have to stop some habits first. The first thing I'll tell you, stay away from anything that triggers it. Because thoughts of sexual watching, they don't happen all through the day, but it happens occasionally. So the first thing is that you block off everything that triggers it. Okay? Just stop movies. Totally. Just go off movies. Have movie fast. Have social media fast. Have some of those things that trigger. If it's book, novel that trigger your own, have novel fast. Read your Bible more. Bible will need, sir. Will need novel. Hello? Thank you, sir. Avoid being alone. If you're alone, stay with brethren. Because you can't be watching pornography while brethren is around you. If you don't have brethren, you go, Baduza. So, you know, you put a lot of safety checks around you. If you stay alone, the tendency to do it, sir, nobody can be doing, can you come and see, listen. You say, Pastor, I have masturbation urge. Come on, can you do it in the midst of all of us here? And you start masturbating yourself, everybody's watching you. He said, Pastor, what is late, Junior? So you see, why you cannot do it in a public place is that thing thrives in secrecy. So expose everything secret about your life. What you have done is that you have already crippled it in a measure. Then the next thing, now start filling your heart with the word. Listen to the word. Fellowship more with the word. That's a time to read the Bible. Now have time to read Bible and listen to message. So what you are putting, if it's word you are putting in, Bible that you are putting in, what will it come out? It is life that will come out. So you are reducing the viral load of that pressure on your soul. And anytime you have that urge to do the thing, begin to pray in the spirit. Or you call your brother and says, I'm feeling that urge. Can you pray with me? It's not hard. I have friends that had that challenge and they confided in me and we'll pray together. I said, Lord, let's pray together. We'll pray. We might pray for 1 hour. Just pray in the spirit for a while. Just deadens that urge. So it just changed your habits. Philippians chapter 4 from verse 8. So retrain yourself, okay? Retrain yourself by changing the kind of thoughts that you fellowship with on a regular basis. All right? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things what? That are true. Uh-huh. That are honest. You can see these things. Whatever things that are what? Whatever things that are what? Pure. If something is not pure. Eh? Now I watch movies, but I have self-control. And I don't watch any kind of movie. For you, it may be 100% staying off. Because you don't have control. Eh? And if you want to watch anything, check what is inside the thing. Are there pornographic scenes in the movie? Are there sexual scenes in the movie? You have sexual problem. You are not watching a movie that has sexual things. Sir, you want petrol now? You are petrol. You don't understand? You are petrol. It's not like you have petrol. Sir, you are petrol. You're not playing around fire. Sir, so you know yourself. You just stay off. Can we say amen? I don't know if I'm helping you. You stay off some things completely. Totally. You shouldn't be the one that is social media active. Because these days, social media is not safe. Anything can just pop up. They have loaded social media with pornography. That's some people, they can easily cross over for you. You hang. And then you fellowship more. It's just like Onkoja or Jawa. This is your Jawa in the market. Somebody is selling tomato. Somebody is selling tatashe. Somebody is selling buns. For me, now, let's use myself. Somebody is selling tomato and tatashe. Those things, they pull me. But ever say buns. And then I'm passing tomato. Cucumber. What are they selling? Like balumo. Buns. Everybody say pop pop. Hey, madam, how much? You price it. You know, so this is it. When you are already smelling the best, frying pop pop, go and look for another route. You pass another route. If you pass in front of that pop pop seller, you go buy. Sir, you go buy. You go buy. At least you go price. Madam, how much is the pop-up today? The pop-up the same price. But I shall have a taste. Oh, this thing I'm using to laugh is killing some people. Are you getting wisdom? When you smell somebody doing the pop-up, the mokwe, weakness and the pop-up. Sir. That's where the Bible says, flee from what? Appearance. Appearance. It's not near you. It's appearance. Ah! You see some kind of lady. Ah! Jemeko Jarama. Sir, just run. That is the Lord will give you understanding. All right. All right. Come begin to talk.
We hope you have been blessed through these words of life. You can get more messages on our website, www.thecitygatechurch.org. Stay blessed.